Hi everyone, and welcome to English for You. I'm Erin.
And I'm Rainbow.
And we are talking about Christmas again.
Ooh.
All right. So people do different things at Christmas to decorate or to kind of, you know, make their homes or their clothes a little bit more Christmas-like, right? And so do you decorate your house for Christmas?
When I was very young, we had a small Christmas tree. But Christmas isn't a huge tradition in a lot of Asian families. So just that tree. And I actually have Christmas lights in my room, but that's for all year.
Yeah, I do too, actually. I like Christmas lights so much that I kind of keep mine around
all year long.
Right. And just, you know, when I'm relaxing or watching a movie, it's nice to have those lights on. In Taiwan, I don't really decorate my home anymore, but at home, we go all out. We put Christmas lights outside the house. We sort of, everything is red and green, and it's got candy canes everywhere.
Stockings
and gifts and a big Christmas tree with lots of ornaments and lights. And, you know, like little Santas everywhere. And my mom likes to have other kind of decorations about Christmas around the house. So it becomes a big thing. We've got huge boxes we keep, you know, all our Christmas decorations in. So every December we pull them out and we kind of make our home look more Christmassy. So we're going to kind of talk about a big decoration that appears in a town in Sweden every winter. So let's find out about that now.
Reading.
The Dangerous Life of Sweden's Giant Gävle Goat. Every Christmas, the town of Gävle, Sweden, celebrates with its own special tradition. This would be with a giant straw goat, which towers over the city from December to January. The display's creation was influenced by Scandinavian fables. The animal helps Santa Claus. The 13-meter-tall Gävle goat's first appearance in 1966 sparked another unexpected custom. Many people now think of it as an informal challenge to try to burn down, knock over, or steal the large holiday figure. For decades, the city has gone to great lengths to protect its goat from these, with differing rates of success. As of 2017, the Gävle goat has been attacked 37 times. In 2005, it was shot with flaming arrows by two people dressed as Santa and the Gingerbread Man. Another year, two men unsuccessfully tried to steal the famous display with a helicopter. Still, in spite of the risks, the Gävle goat, every December to spread holiday cheer.
Okay, here in the article, we're starting right away to find out what's happening and where it is. It says, every Christmas, the town of Gävle, Sweden, celebrates with its own special tradition. Now, I doubt they're putting up, like, little Santa Clauses everywhere like my mom does, but let's find out what they're doing.
All right, so the article says, this would be with a giant straw goat, which towers over the city from December to January. So there's a big goat made of straw. So straw, the noun, is dried stalks of grain, which is usually used for packaging or weaving. So we can have a straw basket or we can have straw hats. So these are the hats that many people wear like sun hats on vacation. Mm-hmm. So in Asia, we have straw mats. Mm-hmm. A lot of people sleep on them because they're cooler for the hot summer days.
Interesting. You know what? I didn't know that.
Yeah, straw mattresses, mm-hmm. actually. So example sentence, after cleaning the barn, the farmer had some pieces of straw in her hair.
Mm. Ooh, cool new hairstyle. All right. Well, now I've learned something new about the straw mats in Taiwan. That's pretty cool to learn about. Now, we said that this giant straw goat is towering over the city. Now, we see the word tower here, and it's usually we know it as a noun, as like a tall, very tall building. But here, we used it as a verb. And when we use it as a verb, we often combine it with the word over. Now, when something towers over another thing, we're just saying that it is a lot taller than the things around it, and it kind of is, you kind of think of it as looking down over the things around it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so the next part of the article says, the display's creation was influenced by Scandinavian fables mm-hmm. in which the animal helps Santa Claus.
Okay.
Wow, so we have a lot of words here. Mm-hmm. Scandinavian is the Swedish and the Norwegian, Northern European countries. Mm-hmm. And we have the word fable, which is a short story, mm-hmm. usually with some animals as characters. The story is meant to teach us a moral lesson.
Right.
So mm-hmm. fables are told to children to teach them about life. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the famous Aesop fables, mm-hmm. we have 伊索寓言 that we might know about, is the tortoise and the hare. Mm. So, 龟兔赛跑的故事. So, this is about a turtle who wins the race rather than the rabbit. Even though the rabbit is really fast, mm-hmm. rabbit spent too much time just bragging and not mm-hmm. really like doing the work. So,
right.
it's saying that the turtle might have an advantage.
Yeah.
So, example sentences, the moral of the fable is that you can be more successful by doing things slowly and steadily than by acting quickly and carelessly.
Mm-hmm.
That was the moral of the fable I just talked about.
Right. That's a good story for people to learn. Even though you can do something fast, it doesn't mean you'll do it well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this huge giant straw goat is in the middle of this town, and here it says in the article, yet the 13-meter-tall Yevle goat's first appearance in 1966 sparked another unexpected custom. Okay, so first we have this custom of putting this goat up, right? And so every year this goat appears since 1966, in fact. But it also sparked another tradition in the town. Now, we use this verb spark, and that means to sort of cause the start of something, especially an argument or fighting. It sparked an argument. That means maybe Rainbow said something mean and it sparked a fight between us. That didn't really happen. And then here, what we're saying is that the first time this goat was put up, it began a new tradition, but it also started another tradition. Now, we'll find out what that means in a second. All right, so the custom of putting this special goat up in the city was one custom, but it also sparked another custom. Now, this noun is something that people in a large group, such as a society or in a sort of religion or something like that, all do. It's one an action that these people all do because it is a part of the group's culture or traditions. For example, we could say, in this country, an important custom is to bring a gift when you are invited to someone's house. That's a good custom to have. Do you have that custom in your family or in your sort of society?
Okay, so there are many other places that mm-hmm. have this custom. For example, Japan and Taiwan.
Okay.
We also bring gifts to other people. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we bring, like, moon cakes mm-hmm. or like a wine or something. But actually in America, it's very common mm-hmm. to bring housewarming gifts to
yeah.
people when they have a new house, right? Something for your home.
To settle in and to sort of put up in your home to decorate it, something
yeah.
like that. Yeah, that's a good custom as well.
All right, so the next sentence says, many people now think of it as an informal challenge to try to burn down, knock over, or steal the large holiday figure. That's kind of strange, isn't it?
That's an interesting custom to sort of ruin the goat, I guess, or steal it.
So this is very interesting. Now we have the adjective informal, which is having a relaxed, friendly, or unofficial style or nature. So we have the prefix IN, which means not. So we have formal, which is super serious, and informal, which means casual.
Right. So I guess when we're thinking about these two customs, sort of putting up this goat every year and the trying to steal the goat every year, the putting the goat up, that's more of a formal tradition. It's the government is putting this thing up so we can celebrate Christmas. But
official.
But every year somebody comes along and says, I'm going to steal the goat. And that's more kind of relaxed or informal. Now let's go on in the article to find out more about this interesting custom. It says, for decades, the city has gone to great lengths to protect its goat from these threats, with differing rates of success. Okay, so a few words to talk about in there. Let's talk about the first one we saw, which is decade. We're saying for decades this happens. Now, decade is a noun, and it's a period of 10 years. When we talk about 3 decades then, for example, we're talking about 30 years.
Oh, long time.
All right, now as an example sentence, we could say, personal computers have been around for decades, and they've changed a lot since people first started using them.
All right, so we're going to introduce today's pocket phrase, go, to talk about to go to great extremes, or go to great or extreme lengths. Let's go check that out.
Okay.
Pocket phrase, go!
大家好，西洋天后玛利亚凯兹出道以来，我凭借我浑厚激昂的嗓音以及竭尽所能努力不懈的态度，终于成就我的天后地位。我将会继续努力。 I will go to great lengths to get what I want. 当我们说一个人竭尽所能，甚至不择手段也要达到目标的时候，我们就可以使用这个片语 go to great lengths 或者是 go to extreme lengths 来表示。后面呢，我们可以再加上不定词 to， 再加上你竭尽所能你想要做到的事情。例如啊，我前阵子去 jewelry shopping， the salesperson went to great lengths to prove that the diamonds were real。 销售员竭尽所能要证明钻石是真的。I know, I know, 我相信你。或者是呢，我认识有些新人呢，很努力地表现自己。He went to extreme lengths to fulfill his ambition， 不择手段也要达成他的野心。Go to great lengths， 不择手段，你也记得了吗？
People are really doing crazy things to try to burn down this goat or steal it. They're just kind of going crazy with it. But it's not always successful. That's why we said with differing rates of success. Maybe some people are successful and some people aren't. Now we use this adjective differing to sort of say that. Now as an adjective, differing is describing many versions of the same thing that are different from each other. So for example here, our one thing is rates of success. And we're saying that there are many different forms or rates of success. Some worked, others didn't. Still, others might have worked a little bit, but they weren't successful in the end, that sort of thing.
All right, so the next word we also talk about is the rate, which we use rate of success. So the rate is a measure, a quantity, or a frequency. So usually it's measuring one quantity against another one. So Aaron mentioned rates of success, which is also a measure of success. Okay, our example sentence says, the island has the lowest crime rate in the world. So this island has the lowest crime rate means it's really, really safe.
There's not a lot of crime. Now, a country with a high crime rate would have a lot of crime, for example. Okay, so people are just trying to get rid of this goat for some reason. It's kind of funny, I think. Here it says, as of 2017, the Yevle goat has been attacked 37 times. That is a bunch.
Yeah.
What? Leave this goat alone. All right, let's look at the preposition as of. Now, we use this preposition to say that something started on a particular date, or we're talking about during a certain period of time. So here, what we're saying is that from 1966 to 2017, the goat has been attacked 37 times. Now, this number will change, though, as someone will probably try to attack it again this year. So next year, of course, how we would use this is people would say, as of 2018, the Yevle goat was attacked 40 times, maybe 38 times, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as of is usually used to talk about some sort of statistics,
right,
or like an official number.
Right.
All right, so in 2005, for example, it was shot with flaming arrows by two people dressed as Santa and the Gingerbread Man.
Okay.
Gingerbread Man is another Christmas character, Jiang Bingren, so we might be familiar with that one.
Right.
All right, so we talked about flaming arrows. The adjective flaming means burning with flames or fire. So blazing, it's really hot. It's usually associated with fire. So if you're flaming, it can also mean that you're very emotional or you're passionate, like fire. Our example sentence, be careful, that tree is on fire and one of its flaming branches could fall to the ground. So we have to be careful so that it doesn't hit us when it's falling.
All right, so they've got these flaming arrows. They're probably shooting a bow like this and they're trying to burn this goat down. Silly people. But that's not all. They were dressed as silly characters. So it says, dressed as Santa and dressed as the Gingerbread Man, I guess we should say. All right, so when you dress as somebody or something, you sort of wear that person's clothing or costume. So, of course, someone dressed as Santa will be wearing a red and white suit with a white beard and a red hat sort of thing, maybe black glasses and carrying a bag full of gifts. And somebody dressed as the Gingerbread Man would sort of be dressed all in brown and have a big silly face with cookie. He would just look like a cookie, I guess. Yeah. Here's another example. Roger dressed as a clown for his son's third birthday party.
All right. So when we do dress up, we don't just do it during Christmas. Mm-hmm. Halloween
That's
is another
fun time.
Place to dress up.
Sometimes you just get to have fun parties where you dress up as different things.
Oh, I used to love dressing up as a princess when I was little.
Exactly.
All right. So the next sentence says, another year, two men unsuccessfully tried to steal the famous display with a helicopter.
Okay. Now that is an extreme length.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what's a helicopter? It's a big machine, big aircraft with long blades on the top that go round really, really quickly. So it's like a airplane, but a very small airplane, and it is propelled by those blades on top. So it's able to stay up in the air and move straight upwards or downwards. So it's kind of different from an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
So the in action movies, we see these exciting scenes where people land or they escape in the helicopters on those secret missions because it arrives really quickly and leaves really quickly.
Right.
Pretty much like we're talking about here, but they failed.
Right. So they kind of flew the helicopter over the goat and they probably tried to lower down and get the goat, but it didn't work. All right, well, that's a pretty interesting way to try to steal this giant goat, but it didn't work. And it says here, still, in spite of the risks, the Yevle goat returns every December to spread holiday cheer and holiday tricks,
yeah,
I think. All right, it says, we use the phrase in spite of something. So we could just say in spite of a noun or in spite of a verb using ing. So when we use this phrase, we show that one thing has not affected another thing from happening or from being true. So for example, even though people attack the goat, it still appears every year. It doesn't change the fact that the goat comes back, right? So the people in charge of the goat, they're just not affected by these attacks. Or maybe they think they're kind of funny, but they still put the goat up anyways. Here's another example. We're going to hold the meeting in spite of Gary's absence today. So even though he's not here, we're going to have the meeting anyway.
Wow, that was a super interesting story about the Swedish tradition of the Gävle goat. All right, let's move on to our closing for today.
That's our For You Chat.
For You Chat.
Okay, welcome back to For You Chat. Our question today, quite an interesting one. If you were in charge of protecting the Gävle goat, what would you do? And why do you think your plan would work?
Ooh, I have this plan.
Okay.
So if I was the government and I had the original goat, what I would do is I would make a fake goat.
Okay.
For people to attack.
Okay.
But nobody would ever know that I had hidden the real goat. So this is just like they do with like fancy art pieces.
Okay.
Where there's a duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hide my own goat somewhere. I don't know, like in the mountains or something, and then just have the fake goat out there.
Well, what if people were hiking and they came across your hidden goat?
That would be really, really terrible. But I would honestly just say, great job, because you found my goat.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess if it was me, I think if it's that important to the people of the town, you could probably find a way to hire people to sort of stand outside it and protect it and kind of keep it safe from these people. But you know what? I kind of think this is a funny tradition. And you know, it doesn't sound like they're seriously trying to do something like this. It's almost like they're trying to do this because somebody else has done it in the past and they want to be that person too. You know, it's more of a game than an actual just like stealing the goat.
I really want to see this. I want to see it in action. And I want to see the flaming arrows too.
All right. Well, you guys can talk about this. What would you do to protect the Gävle goat? You can have a good, interesting stories about this goat, I think. But we are all out of time for today. So for English for You, I'm Erin.
I'm Rainbow.
Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
The Dangerous Life of Sweden's Giant Gävle Goat. Every Christmas, the town of Gävle, Sweden, celebrates with its own special tradition. This would be with a giant straw goat, which towers over the city from December to January. The display's creation was influenced by Scandinavian fables, in which the animal helps Santa Claus. Yet the 13-meter-tall Gävle goat's first appearance in 1966 sparked another unexpected custom. Many people now think of it as an informal challenge to try to burn down, knock over, or steal the large holiday figure. For decades, the city has gone to great lengths to protect its goat from these threats, with differing rates of success. As of 2017, the Gävle goat has been attacked 37 times. In 2005, for example, it was shot with flaming arrows by two people dressed as Santa and the Gingerbread Man. Another year, two men unsuccessfully tried to steal the famous display with a helicopter. Still, in spite of the risks, the Gävle goat returns every December to spread holiday cheer.
Vocabulary Review.
Straw. Most beds used to be made of straw because it feels very soft to lie on. Fable. The fable of the lion and the mouse teaches us that kindness is never a bad idea. Custom. There is a custom in my family of saying thanks to the cook before we eat a meal. Decade. Technology has changed a lot in 10 years. The computer I bought a decade ago is worthless now. Rate. At my current rate, I'm making 5 new paintings every month. I'd like to get faster at my work. Flaming. In this tale, the knight doesn't use ordinary weapons to fight. He uses a flaming sword.